The act of preparation can vary a whole lot. It all depends really on what you're preparing for, and it can be kind of more enjoyable or less. It might be you're preparing for a vacation. That's a really nice one. You can think about where you're going and maybe doing searches on what are attractions there and restaurants nearby, and maybe you're getting some new clothes for that vacation. Maybe just picturing, okay, what book will I take as I kind of flop on the beach and just enjoy myself? And so that kind of preparation for a vacation is just really kind of nice. Then it might be preparing for a job interview. And that has a little different feel to it. There's a certain intensity there of I need to be dressed right to make this critical impression. I need to be ready to be able to field all kinds of questions, know about the job that I'm interviewing for. So there's a real intensity that can be there. Another kind of preparation might be for some kind of medical procedure. And we know how uncomfortable those kinds of preparations can be as well. Maybe it's preparing to put on a meal. Again, kind of mindful who's coming and how do I want the place to look. And so there's an attention to details. Advent is our church season in which we prepare for the season of Christmas. And it's not only a physical, material preparation, getting decorations ready and things ordered and gifts obtained or writing letters to Santa, however you need to do that. You know, instead, also the church proposes that we have a preparation of heart and mind, meditating on the preparation that the Lord has made for that first coming of Jesus, you know, at Bethlehem, his coming in the flesh and all the prophecy and preparation for that. But also the church bids us to meditate on that ultimate coming of the Lord Jesus, when he will come again in glory with the transformation of all things. And so the church bids us in Advent to prepare, yes, for Christmas, but also meditate on that greater preparation that this life is for that ultimate second coming. Now, what does that kind of preparation look like? Well, let's consider what our readings have to share. The first reading is from the prophet Isaiah. In the desert, the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. So there's this prophetic call to make straight the way of the Lord, prepare for his coming. And what we see in the gospel is, and Mark connects the dots for us with his first phrases, his first verses of his gospel, that John the Baptist really lives out this prophetic mission described by Isaiah to prepare the way for the Lord, for this first coming of Jesus in his public ministry as the Messiah. And so John the Baptist goes out to the Jordan River. He goes to that place where Israel had first entered the promised land. He kind of goes out there and draws them to himself for really kind of a spiritual reboot, you know, of repentance, to kind of start again where they had entered into that great promise of the Lord, you know, of a land that would be theirs, but now to help them get ready to enter into an even greater promise the Lord has made, that they would receive a Messiah, an anointed Savior. And they really needed the preparation, no doubt about that, and especially because of the nature of the Messiah's actually coming. The Messiah would be Jesus, Son of God and Son of Mary at the same time. And his coming would be something joyful for some. It would be something perplexing and traumatic and even infuriating for others. And it would be really surprising to everyone about how the Lord indeed comes and what he has fulfilled. But Jesus not only comes that first time, he will come again. And that is what our second reading from the second letter of Peter really focuses on. And I know he uses all kinds of interesting apocalyptic language that might be kind of challenging or a little confusing for our modern ear. But let me just point to maybe two elements out of that for us to understand that I think describe more about what this second coming will be like. He says, the elements will be dissolved by fire, and the earth and everything done on it will be found out. I think, you know, in his using this image of this time of what will happen, to me, what came to mind maybe as an engineer is, you know, this testing of these things as kind of a spiritual mass spectrometry, if I can put it that way. You've probably never heard mass spectrometry brought up in a homily before. It's it's this testing of a material where it's ionized, a sample of that material, and then with the ions from that, the composition, the true nature of this material is revealed. I think that's what Peter is speaking about, that there will be this deep testing of all things kind of through the trial of that moment, and the true inner nature and composition of our actions and who we've become will be found out and manifest before all. So that's one element of Jesus' second coming. Another part of it that he mentions is, he says, and we await new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. A new heavens and a new earth is a beautiful term used by that prophet Isaiah from our first reading twice. It's also used in the book of Revelation at the end, towards the end of the book, and of course here in 2 Peter. What it really points to is it speaks of something comprehensive and complete that God will do. So the Catechism has this to say, after the universal judgment, that spiritual mass spectrometry, sacred scripture calls this mysterious universal renewal, which will transform humanity and the world, new heavens and a new earth. It'll be the definitive realization of God's plan to bring under a single head all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. So there's this great renewal and bringing together of all things under Christ that will come about. And to try to picture that is something really hard. In a sense, it's something very mysterious. And the reason why is we can't just project from how the world is right now to what that will be like, because it's something that transcends what our existence is like at this time. It's beyond our current experience. All we can do is maybe look to different hints from the teaching and the life of Jesus and sacred scriptures. But even St. Paul himself admits frankly to the Corinthians, now we see but dimly. But a few of the signposts for that new heavens and new earth are the resurrection of the Lord, that raising of his body, his bodily existence that is at the same time spiritual. This incredible reality of the union of spirit and matter and the resurrection is something for that entire renewal. Or think of the transfiguration, how the glory of God radiates through Jesus when he is transfigured on the mountain. And that glory filling all things, somehow that's part of this new heavens and a new earth as well. And then I think just looking at the lives of the saints is another signpost of this great renewal. Their lives, their love, their great mercy. All of this, I think, kind of adds up to give us a certain sense of what this new heavens and new earth will be about. But I know with his second coming, I think we can look to Jesus' first coming for just a few principles about what it'll be like. Because I think we saw in Jesus' first coming that, frankly, God loves surprises. He loves to surprise and to explode our expectations. He also likes to turn human presumption and arrogance on their heads. God also, in that first coming of Jesus, perfectly met our needs for a Savior with the incarnation of his Son, the coming of Jesus Christ. So again, in this second coming, how perfectly the Lord will accomplish what he intends and what we need even as he explodes our categories and our presumptions and assumptions. And lastly, just like in that first coming, people must be prepared for it. They must be made suited for the coming of the Lord. Just as people needed to be made suited by John the Baptist for that first coming, we need to be made suited for his second coming. Whether we are alive whenever that happens, or whether we are among the dead waiting for this resolution of all things. My brothers and sisters, this life is our chance to become ready, to prepare for that second coming. Do you grasp that? Do you understand that? Do you take that seriously? This is the time to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Not just an Advent season, but our entire life is a season of preparation for the things to come. Do you understand that and believe that? To become like Christ is, I think, the essence of that preparation. As we have put on Christ, as St. Paul would say, as we have received his Spirit, to become recognizably children of the light, an act of life, of faith, hope, and charity, of holiness and devotion, as Peter describes it. This is the kind of preparation we ultimately need. You know, and every Mass, in a sense, is like a miniature second coming of the Lord. And it's a good chance for us to consider, how is my preparation going? And then to beg the Lord the graces to continue to be made suited for his return. Yes, that creates a seriousness to this life, a seriousness to the things of this life. You know, that to see that these are all ordered towards preparation or not, you know? And if the bucket list you have, you know, has only ambitions for this life, you're really cheating yourself of the main event. But I think this also, this seeing life as preparation, it's also an anticipation of glory, which gives profound meaning of the things in our lives, good things, bad and hard things. All of these we can refer them to and see them as part of this preparation for the Lord's return. And so then they take on that eternal significance. What might seem simply drudgery or a perplexity or a challenge can be seen as, no, this is helping to prepare me for the return of the Lord. And all of the things in my life can take on a deeper meaning. And isn't our society dying from the sense of no real meaning besides the diversion under our nose? And so the reality of the second coming lifts up the reality of our existence to something noble and beautiful and challenging and glorious. So thinking from my own experience, what is this preparation like? If it's not a meal, thankfully it's not like a medical prep or something like that. You know, it's also not a job interview prep, and it's certainly not prep for vacation. We don't just kind of flop onto the beach of heaven. Do we just have to have the ticket? No, there's a real preparation. And so for me, I think of my preparation for going on a pilgrimage as a good image for what this life is meant to be, preparing for that return of the Lord. Some things like educating oneself, you know, about the nature of the journey and learning the way. That's an important part, you know, when you're going to go on a pilgrimage. So too for this, to learn from those who have successfully completed the pilgrimage, you know, to get their guidebooks, their tips. Oh, go to this albergue, forget about that one, you'll get sick over there, those kinds of things. And so what that means in this life is the lives of the saints who have successfully prepared for this great return. It also means becoming capable of the journey through real training and preparing for a pilgrimage. You put in serious miles to become one who is capable of that journey. There is this transformation of the self that makes us then ready and suited for it. You know, same with this preparation of this life, this transformation in holiness, you know, that we are suited for the Lord's return. There's also that being with fellow travelers, You know, you don't just do the pilgrimage on your own, but kind of have your band of pilgrims, right? And that's the same thing in this life, that our fellow travelers, you know, on the way to the return of the Lord, and we call them the church, you know, who God has brought together to be prepared for his ultimate plan. And then, especially this, when getting ready for a pilgrimage, you know, just anticipating the end and how great that'll be, the satisfaction, the joy, the relief of that moment. And so, same thing for us in preparing for this return of the Lord, to anticipate the glorious arrival with real joy, to anticipate that beautiful encounter at the end with the Lord who has been with you all along.